Amen.
Praise the Lord. So great to be in God's house this morning on a wonderful, hot summer. Anybody love this heat? Anybody? We got a couple people like it. I tell you, you know, when it gets cold, you want the heat. When it gets hot, you want the cold. And so, hey, you know, we're in the midst of it, and I'm so glad that you've made your way out today to be in this nice air-conditioned room. Thank God for that. Amen. You know, it's kind of like when you need an umbrella, your umbrella breaks, and if it's hot outside, the air conditioner breaks. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? I know that I've had several people that have had some air issues over the last few weeks, and that's not a good thing. It's terrible. I remember when I first got my first car, I had air conditioning in my car. It was 440. It was four windows down, going 40 miles an hour down the road. That's the kind of air I had. But I tell you, I'm thankful for air conditioning. You know, this morning, God gave me a word several months ago, just a word that kind of I've held on to, and I just want to open up that scripture to you today. But it's a word that nobody wants to happen. It's trouble. Nobody is looking for trouble. You know, you were to put on a little, hello, my name is Trouble. I had a cousin, his mom and dad used to call him Trouble. He'd come, uh-oh, here comes Trouble. You know, every time he'd come walking around. And you know, Trouble doesn't wear a badge like this. But most of us in this room have experienced some sort of trouble. You know, we really, honestly, we try to avoid trouble at all costs. Like, take for instance, you know, the trouble of trying to walk in this heat at Walmart or maybe at the grocery store. You try to find a good parking spot. So everybody's literally looking for that. You know, you're looking, it's too much trouble to park that far away. Or maybe it's like when you're going to the drive-thru. Anybody else do this? If you look at the drive-thru and you whether you're going to go in and get the food or you're going to go through the drive-thru and you're like, I don't know. If I get it before that white car goes through, you know, I go in. Anybody do that? Does anybody survey the lines at Walmart and say, all right, that one right there? And inevitably, you'll pick the wrong line. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you're like, my heavens, I mean, there was one person in front of me there, and every time that happens, it's like,
we need a price check on this item.
You know, it just happens. You know, it's trouble, and you're like, I can't believe this, the trouble I have to go through to get through, you know, just a regular deal. I mean, what about around here this time of year? The traffic, right? Trouble. Do you want to go down 59 or you want to go all these back roads and have to dodge cows and whatnot when you go on the back roads? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, you have to make the decision to try to avoid the trouble that happens. And you know, but it's inevitable at times that we find ourselves. Now, there are some jobs that people, they're actually looking for trouble. You know, I mean, it's like a firefighter. I mean, I'm so thankful. Do we have any law enforcement people that's worked, maybe even passed? Wave at me. I've seen that. People, police officers, they're actually in there. They know that they're signing up for trouble. I mean, when a police officer goes into duty, it has no idea what he's going to be facing that night or that afternoon or that morning. So there are many, many things that people, matter of fact, military. How many we've got veterans in the room? Wave at me. You're running into trouble. So not everybody avoids, but really, honestly, we all try to avoid a little bit of trouble. But I'm going to open up a passage of scripture in John chapter 16, verse 33. And this is Jesus. Let me set a little context for this. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's given them a litany of things, a list of things that's going to happen. He's trying to set them up and let them know. And he's talked to them over and over again. And he's kind of revealing that he's going to be hitting some big-time trouble coming up. He's going to be laying himself upon a cross. And the disciples just weren't wrapping their minds around it. They just weren't getting it. And so he's saying right here in John 16 and 33, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And then he drops a bomb on them. He says, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Let's just chew on that verse for a little bit. I've been over the last couple of weeks, been chewing on this verse. He's saying this. He said, I'm telling you these things that in me you may have peace. You may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Think about that for a second. He's saying, you may have peace. It's your choice, but you ain't got a choice. You're going to run into trouble. Because this world is full of trouble. It is absolutely full of trouble. I mean, can I get amen on that this morning? See, no one wants that trouble. And he says in Matthew's gospel, chapter 6, verse 34, it says this, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. All right, let's just pray and then we'll just leave. You know, I'm giving you a word. You're in trouble, all right? You thought, I've come to hear the good news. Well, there is good news. Because he says, take heart. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but I have overcome the world. Don't worry about what troubles tomorrow, because you're going to have plenty of trouble during the day, and it's got enough trouble next to you. But so even though we have trouble, Jesus is always with us. He promises this. He says this in Romans 8 and 35. It says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It says, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And I love how he answers this just a couple of scriptures later in Romans 8 and 37. He says, no. No. In all these things, we are made more than conquerors through him who has loved us. So it is in through your trouble, you're made more than a conqueror today. That's good news to me. I don't know about you. In your trouble, in your situation, in all the things that surround you, you're made more than a conqueror. You're made more than. I love what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. It says this, praise be to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of the compassion and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in trouble and comfort those ourselves who receive with the comfort we receive from God. So God has given us, each one of us, the ability to help other people go through the life's trouble and struggles. We're here for one another. Do you realize that? We're not trying to do this thing on our own. The enemy wants to isolate you today. He wants to let you know, he wants to make you feel like not only are you in the most trouble, but nobody else has got the trouble you have. And you're all by yourself, and everybody's got it all together. You look at Facebook, and everybody's shining, man, they got it going on. You know, they're going on cruises and stuff like that. You know, it's like, you know, while you're left here at the church to fight the devil by yourself. But, you know, I mean, it's just stuff like that. But honestly and truthfully, We have situations that we can go through to help other people. See, in the midst of trouble, God comforts. In the middle of that, I love what Revelation 12 and 11 says. It's one of my favorite scriptures. I probably say it once or twice a week. And it says this, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It's very important for us to understand that our story means something. You're going through something, not just for you. The struggles and trials and tests and troubles that you face are not just for you to say, I'm all by myself. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows what you're not there by yourself. And when you go through things, you have comfort that's brought to you, and then you have the ability to share your story with somebody else. How many know that when you hear somebody stand up, we used to do the old testimony services. You remember that? And I remember Brother Duncan, my church growing up, he'd say, I appreciate God. He'd always start out and say, and he would go into this whole story. And I remember at first as a kid, I thought, same story. I've heard this 25 times. But you know what? After I started looking back on that story, I thought, what a powerful testimony. God has brought him through so many things. What all the things that he'd been through, and he was still standing. It's a miracle. But a lot of times we become dumb and become deaf and we become numb to the situation of the other people. And you've heard their story. But I'm telling you, do not ever stop telling your story. See, not only are we made more than a conqueror, we're made an overcomer because the trouble that we face. So, this is my story. Many of you probably know, but I've about 2 years ago, right around this time, about the end of July, 2 years ago, I had a really like a pinprick in my left foot, right on the inside part. And it was just almost like somebody had taken a needle and popped it, just the inside part. And it was like overnight. I was trying to mow the grass, and man, I mean, I was hurting bad. I mean, I was really in a lot of pain. And then my foot started swelling up, so I started icing it, and I was like, I don't know what's going on. So I ended up having to, I had to drive up to Northeast Tennessee to do a funeral, and I was coming back, and I slipped my loafers off, and I was stopping back in Chattanooga because my brother was actually in the hospital in Chattanooga, and I thought, I'll get to see him there. And so I slipped my loafers off, and I get ready to put them back on, and my shoe would not fit back on my foot when I got out to go to the hotel that night. So I iced it. I didn't know what to do. I hadn't been to the doctor in 25 years, okay, for anything. I had a sunburn down in Dolphin Island 25 years. It was 27 years ago, and I got burned really bad. And that was the last time I took my shirt off in the sun, by the way. I said, that ain't happening again. And so, I honestly would get sick, but rarely did I ever get sick enough to go to the doctor. As a matter of fact, I didn't miss a day in high school. I had perfect attendance. I didn't miss a day in college. I was not smart enough to miss a day. I had to be there to hear the teacher say the class. I had to be there. And so, I had very good health. I mean, I'd get sick, but it wasn't terrible. I'd rarely take an aspirin if I had a headache. And so, I was like, what's going on with my foot? And so I did some research, and WebMD, which is not really good, And so just to avoid go to the doctor, I thought, I've got plantar fasciitis. That's what I have. Because I talked to a couple of people. Yeah, that's what it is. So what you need to do is you get a bottle of water and freeze it. And you can roll your foot. There's nothing really you can do about it. It just has to heal on its own over several weeks. But I was aggressive with it. If you know me, if I know there's something I can do, I'm going to just go after it. So I started rolling my foot. It gave me a little relief, but it wasn't perfect. And so I was in a lot of pain. And I just pressed on. And so I was helping a friend of mine during the week. We were ripping up hardwood floors. Like, we'd go to high school gyms, and we'd rip the floor up with a crowbar and throw it into a wheelbarrow and then run it out to a dumpster. And it was hot like it is this summer. In triple digits, we were all around the coast, Biloxi, over in Slido, Louisiana, and all up the panhandle. And I was helping him do that 4 or 5 days a week. And then we'd get done about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we'd go hit the golf ball. We'd go, let's go play some golf, We'd do that every day. And then on the weekends, I was going around helping churches. I was preaching and doing different choir things and worship. I was burning it at both ends, just running crazy. Until I was like, man, we had a vacation planned. Santa Rosa Beach had some friends of ours that had a house there. They had a little pool out back. We'd go to the beach. I said, that's what I need. I need the beach. That's what I need. I was living in Birmingham. I need to get down to that salt water. Not a really good idea, because I later found out. We would go to the beach, and in the afternoon we'd go to the pool, and we'd be hanging out in the pool. And I'll spare you the gory details, but my foot started falling apart. The skin was coming off the bottom, and it became really bad. Matter of fact, I was out one day at the pool, and Sandy, she said, that doesn't look good. And so we did an online consult, and they said, you need to go to the doctor. You need to go to the hospital right now. And we was like, we're out of state, and we didn't have insurance. And I was like, that's going to be terrible, so let's just wait till we get back home. So we got back home, and this was Labor Day weekend. It was into that week. And I finally just broke down and said, let's go to the hospital. So we roll into the hospital, and they did blood tests and started looking at my blood. And they came in and said, Mr. Hawcox, how long have you been diabetic? I said, 5 minutes. I had no clue. And so she started throwing out numbers that made nothing to me. They may mean something to you. She said, sir, your sugar is 660 right now. Yeah, later found out it should be about 100 or 120 at the most. And then she said, your A1C is 17. That meant nothing to me. I thought, that's 2 touchdowns and a field goal. I guess 17. I don't. She said, what that means is you've been running, your sugar's been running over 500 for the last 3 months constantly. It never gone below 500. Do you not feel that, sir? I said, no. She goes, what have you been doing anything? I said, been working hard, been hard labor. Remember, I'm tearing floors up every day. I'm going to play golf. The only thing I noticed is I wasn't seeing real good. I got to get out in the sun. I could not see the golf ball. As a matter of fact, we were driving by, and my buddy I used to go with, and he goes, hey, man, you went right by your ball right there. And I was like, oh, I couldn't stay. My eyes were failing me. My body was shutting down. So they run a bunch of tests on my foot and run me through these CAT scans, PET scans, all kind of scans. And they came back and said, you've got a major infection in your foot, and it's running up your leg. And if we don't take care of it, you're going to die. It's going right to your heart. And I was like, what, take care of it? He said, we're going to have to amputate your left foot. I looked over at Sandy. I said, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, it was just eerily quiet. I'm not taking aspirin for headaches, okay? And I'm about to have to go into trouble. I'm talking about trouble, y'all. I'm talking about maybe you've been in trouble like that before. It's like a street sign, or you see danger ahead, and it says trouble on the sign. Big yellow sign that says trouble. Trouble don't always show itself like that. You don't know it's coming. And so it was a shock to us, a shock to my system. So the doctor said, we're going to go in and remove your foot. And I said, doctor, whatever you got to do, just save as much as you can in my leg. And so on that Thursday morning, he removes the foot. I wake up from anesthesia, and he says, good news, bad news. Good news, we're able to, really successful surgery, but we're not able to button you up yet. We're going to have to go in on Saturday. We're going to have to take a little bit more because that infection is really bad. I wake up on Saturday around lunchtime after they did the second surgery. We weren't able to get it off, Mr. Hawcox. We're sorry. We're having to work our way up your leg. We're going to have to go back in on Tuesday and have another surgery. So they go back in Tuesday. I come to thinking, this is it. No. Sorry, Mr. Hawcox. We're going to have to go back in on Friday. And they continued to work up my leg until they got about 5 inches below my knee, and they were able to button me up. So 8 days, 4 surgeries. And I remember thinking, what in the world are we going to do? I'm laying in bed. My body has just been beaten. And it's just all of a sudden just kind of caught up to me. And so as I laid in the hospital bed and in the ICU, I ended up getting into a regular room. And some friends of ours came by, and many of you guys, especially in the music department, who know this couple, Steve Holder, he came and helped a few weeks, and Pastor Mike Middleton took a break. Steve came in and did some helped lead worship here. He and his wife Melinda were in the room, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. Melinda's on this side, Sandy's on this side, Steve's at the end of my bed, and they start praying, and the Holy Spirit starts coming into the room. And I'm telling you, it's strong. And if they didn't know we were Pentecostal before, they knew then. I mean, we're talking about we're going full-on worship up in that room. And I remember I have never felt the presence of God that strong in my life. And I remember reaching my hand up like this right here, and I grabbed a hold of what I thought was Steve's hand. And I opened my eyes, and there was not a hand there. It must have been the hand of the Lord. I mean, I was like I grabbed a hold of an electric fence. It was like, woo! It was powerful. And so the next day we got to go home. Well, what we got to understand is where we lived, put that picture up of our house in front of there's 14 steps up into that house. And as I pulled in, that's the front steps right there. As we pulled in, I was like, how am I going to get up the steps? And I had six, seven of my buddies were there, friends of ours. They got 2 on one side, 2 on the other side. 2 in the back and pick me up. It's almost like the story, when Jesus is in the house and they rip off the roof and lower
the friend down to be healed. That's what it felt like. They lifted me up, carried me up the steps into the house. And it was, I mean, it was a moving moment. My lovely wife, Sandy, became my nurse. And she didn't know what she was doing. She was just praying, God, give your wisdom. And she turned our dining room into a kind of a medical room and basically my bedroom. Because the next slide, there's 14 steps that go into this to where my bedroom was. And I couldn't get up those. I mean, I'd have to be going up and down. And so over the next 2 months, I lived basically in a dining room with a bed, and the kitchen table was turned into medicines and whatnot. I had a medicine ball. Basically, it was 24 hours drip. And Sandy had to change that out, and she was scared to death. And God gave her wisdom through that situation. I'm talking about trouble, absolute trouble. When trouble comes and the enemy starts lying to you and telling you that you're not going to make it through this, you're not going to survive through this. And it's one of those things where you have to trust it totally in God. You have to believe that God is with you at all times. So over the next few weeks, I had a buddy of mine that used to play guitar for me when I was in Chattanooga. He was a retired physical therapist. He came down and lived with us for a couple of weeks and helped get me kind of into shape. Another friend of mine that played bass for me when I was in church in Chattanooga came and built a ramp that came off their house. I mean, you're talking about the body of Christ rallied around us in an amazing way. You see, in the middle of trouble, I had other people chip in and pitch in and be a part of what we were doing and to survive, just to kind of get from day to day. So I thought I was out of the woods and everything's cool. But about 10 days being at home, I started gaining fluid, and the doctors had no clue. What's going on? They said it could be your heart, could be your kidneys, could be, we don't know which one it is. My legs started swelling, and I started gaining a whole lot of weight, and I got to where I couldn't breathe. I couldn't get comfortable, couldn't lay down on my back, couldn't lay on my side, couldn't, no position. And one night, I was laying in the living room in my lazy boy and just praying to get some rest. And it was about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I saw about 4 or 5 images walking around. And it was angelic. One of them said, I'm here to minister to you. Turn your head this way. Turn your back this way. And next thing I know, I'm dead asleep. I had an encounter, and I'll never forget it. I didn't see their faces. I just saw the images. So we go to the doctor the next day, and she says, you need to go ahead and go to the emergency room. So I get checked in the emergency room. Oh, you have double pneumonia. You've got COVID. Of course, everybody had COVID. You've got all kinds of stuff. You know, this is going on. So I'm laying in the bed, in the hospital bed, and the lady calls out a number, and I thought, is that the room number I'm in? She goes, no, that's your weight. I said, you've got, what? I had gained 60 pounds of fluid. So a couple of days later, they come up with an idea. They thought, well, let's run a needle in your back. Yeah, I was all on one side, by the way. I was going to bring pictures, but it's terrible. I looked like I was carrying a child on this left side right here. It was just like 60 pounds. And so they run get 2 liters off my lung. And I'm laying there, and they said, everything should be good. Until 2 days later, I wake up in a pool of blood, bleeding out. Doctors didn't have good poker faces. They'd walk in and run out. Like, we don't know what's going on. I'm talking about trouble, y'all. Absolute trouble. And I hit my lowest point that Wednesday morning. I was like, is it even worth living? Is it worth trying to press through this? Because this is nothing. I mean, this is like, I had a hematoma on my back. It was awful, just awful. But I'm going to tell you right now, 48 hours later, I was walking out of that hospital. I said, really walking, it's rolling out. Getting out of the hospital, and 10 days after that, all 60 pounds gone. Amen? It had to be the Lord. And I'm telling you all this, I'm just letting you know, this is my story. This is what God has brought me through. And so over the next year or so, we just started going to different places, and God was able to use us through different places. And then in September of last year, we were called to come to Loxley. And I never even thought I'd ever be back at a church. I didn't even, when I stepped out of my pastorate, I was lead pastor at a church. But when the call came to come to Loxley, this was the right place to be. This is where God had called us to be. And he's given us the energy and the ability to do what we're doing. Amen? And I, you know, I still have issues. I mean, I've got issues with, when I play the piano at times, my hands hurt really bad. I've got issues in this right eye that if God doesn't heal me, I'm going to have something done with that. But you know what? God is with me through all of these things. I'm made more than a conqueror. Through it all, God's with it, and he's bringing comfort. He's causing me to conquer. He's making me a more than an overcomer. I love what James, we just did a Bible study in here on Wednesday night talking about James, and one of my favorite passages out of James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, it says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature in completion and not lacking anything. New Century Version says it this way. I get tickled every time I read this, but the New Century Version says this. It says, my friends, be glad even if you have a lot of trouble. Well, then I might as well just be really glad. And you might as well this morning be really glad. And many of us that's in this room could get up and tell a story. We don't know what people are going through, y'all. I mean, right? Somebody sitting right next to you is going through some trouble right now that you can't even imagine and wrap your mind around. But see, let me tell you something. There's one truth I want you to walk away from here understanding today. That God, he will not lead you into trouble. But he will lead you out. He will not lead you into trouble. But he will truly lead you out. I say three different kind of prayers every morning. Every day that I live, I wake up, I pray the prayer of Jabez. How many remember Jabez? Jabez, you know what Jabez meant? His mother named him problems, trouble. Basically your name, trouble all the time. But see, when Jabez prayed, he said, enlarge my territory, expand my horizon. And then I'll not be a curse, but I'll be a blessing. I can be a blessing to somebody. And then I pray every day the Lord's Prayer. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. It's what the prayer leads us throughout the whole thing. Our Father which art in heaven, holy is your name. And then I also pray Psalms 23. And one of the passages in there, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For your rod and your staff, they're with me. They comfort me. Many times through this journey, I've been on death's door. As a matter of fact, Sandy said it afterwards. Thank God she didn't say it before. She said, doctors didn't expect you to live. They didn't expect you to live, to survive, to make it through this. But because God was with me, I made it through it. I'm making it through it every day. Psalms 32 and 7 says this, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with the songs of deliverance. And so I choose to bring life and breathe life. 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9 says this, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. A pastor friend of mine said years ago, I've been knocked all over the rock, but I've not been knocked off. You know, and he also said, same pastor said this. He said, I'd rather fall on the rock than have the rock fall on me. And many times we maybe feel like we've been falling on. But you know what? The Bible is full of people that have overcome trouble. I mean, think about this. Moses came upon the Red Sea, and it was trouble. Because behind him was his enemy ready to push him into the Red Sea to his watery grave. But God parted those Red Sea and able to walk them on dry ground. Here's the most amazing thing about that story to me is that the same ground that they walked upon, their enemy was swallowed up on because of the sea was collapsed right behind them. There are many of stories, a furnace of trouble. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel was in a den of trouble. I mean, Paul and Silas were in a prison of trouble. But see, Jesus said in that first passage that we brought out, he said, I'm telling you these things so that you will you will find peace in me, so that you may have that peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Philippians 4 and 7 says this, that and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I can't tell you how many times it doesn't make sense why I had peace. It made absolutely no sense why I could have any kind of peace in a situation that I was living in. But I know I had peace. In the midst of the very storm, Jesus said, take heart. He said, do not lose heart. Be of good cheer. Because, see, verse John 4:4 says this, greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in this world. And me and Sandy, we were just talking about yesterday, if God be for you, then who can be against you? I mean, there's nothing in this world that can come. Because, see, he is greater. He's inside you. There are no rival. There's no equal to him. See, troubles birth peace. Troubles birth you're more than a conqueror. Troubles birth an overcoming. Troubles birth perseverance. Troubles birth God's comfort. Troubles birth lacking nothing and being complete in him. And it's not something that we want to go through. But in all these things, he's made faithful. It's like when there's a forecast for rain, you dress accordingly. When it's cold, you bundle up. When it's hot, you make sure you're not bundled up. Sun's out, you put the sunglasses on. See, God's word is a hot cup of coffee on a freezing cold day. God's word is a glass of ice cold lemonade on a hot summer's afternoon. He's an umbrella on a rainy day. He's a flashlight in the dark by night. But today, there are three kind of people that are in this room right now. There are people that are headed into trouble. Or maybe you're in the midst of trouble today. Or the third kind, good news, you're coming out. But here's the best news of all. No matter what you go through, I was a youth pastor for several years, and I used to tell the young people that the root word of through is rough, R-O-U-G-H. You've got to go through things, and sometimes it's very hard, it's very rough. But if God told us to put our armor on, that means there's going to be a battle. If he told you to put a helmet of salvation on, that means there's going to be rocks going to be thrown at your head. If he told you to put the breastplate of righteousness on, that means there's going to be arrows that are going to be thrown at you. If he told you to put your feet with the gospel of peace, you're going to make sure you put those peace shoes on. You need your shield of faith and your sword of the Spirit. If it was not a battle, then you wouldn't need the armor. Come on, somebody. There are things that we have to go through, but when trouble comes out of the blue, through the storm, in the middle of the storm, God is with you. Now listen to this. You will have trouble. That's what he said. But God has you. You will have trouble, but God has you. All things are possible through him. He's close to the brokenhearted. He's close to those that need his peace. So if you are in Christ, so all of your circumstances are in Christ as well. All the problems and all the trouble that you're going through. Now, I heard this story. This was interesting. I got two Cokes up here. Two Coke cans. And they look very similar. I got one's a zero, one's a regular. I haven't drank a regular Coke in a couple of years. That was one of my vices. I love caffeine. I'm sure that was helping my sugar get up there around 660. I'm an overcomer, you know. I'm an overachiever, I guess. I don't know. But these cans look identical, right? One of them is full. One of them is empty. What happens to the empty can when it's not full? Gets crushed. But I can't do that to this one. I squeeze as hard as I can. I can try to stamp on it. You know why it won't collapse? Because it's full. That's the key to what life is. If you're empty and you're not full of Christ and full of the Spirit of God, then it's easy to crush you. You're easily to be collapsed, to fall apart. Oh, does that mean that you're going to be perfect? No, it doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is continue to keep yourself full. One of the sayings me and Sandy had years ago that we heard an evangelist and a missionary, Heidi Baker, she said, show up, filled up. What does that mean? You can't pour out of an empty vessel. You can't be used if you're empty. You can't be fully able to overcome obstacles that come your way if you're empty. So this morning, I want to ask a couple of questions, and I'm going to open these altars up. If I could, Ms. Joyce, if you could get your prayer team, bring several of them, go ahead and bring them down. We're going to have a time of prayer in response. And this morning, I want you to know that God's with you in the middle of your storm. God is a very present help in a time of trouble, in a time of need. And if you have something you're going through and you need somebody to pray with you about it, we're going to open these altars up. But before we do that, if you would just bow your head, close your eyes all over the room this morning.
Hi, we're so glad you joined us at Loxley Church today. Our goal and our prayer is that every person uniquely encounter God, and we want to hear about yours. Scan the QR and that will take you to an online connect card. Leave a comment and tell us how you encountered God today. If you have a prayer request, we want to agree and believe with you for whatever you need God to do in your life. Let's close in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we love you. We adore you. We thank you for the privilege of coming into your presence. We thank you that we've been able to worship and sing songs of praise, and that your word has gone forth in power. We pray that it would take root deep down in every person's life. I pray that this week that they would find you real to them, that you would reveal yourself to them in a special way. If there needs salvation, we pray that salvation go forth. If there needs to be healing, we pray that healing would go forth. Restoration in families. God, we love you. We thank you. We give you the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We would love to see you in person, but if not, join us online next week.